Our scripture lesson this morning is Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. A friend's wife had to work on Sunday, and so he was going to be taking his two very young sons to worship service by himself. So he was figuring out, how am I going to get these two boys, they were like 5 and 3, to behave in church. So he gathered them Sunday morning before going to worship service, and he said, "Now boys, when we're in church, you act like you're dead." So as the service proceeded, the boys were trying really hard to be good. And at one point, one of them whispered, "And me acting dead yet?" You know, I really don't think this friend of mine is the only one who has ever taught their children to act dead in worship. Because I'm convinced with a lot of us, it's stuck into adulthood. I'm sure you've heard about the 9/11 call to the local church. Unfortunately, someone had died during the service. So first responders came in and they took out 10 people before they got to the right one. The psalmist proclaimed, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with thanksgiving." Now that sounds like the total opposite of acting like we're dead. Now don't anybody worry. I'm not going to try to contrive certain actions from you. For I would not consider that, I would not feel that that is genuine worship. It's my personal opinion that if the worship leader tries to direct certain actions, as clapping or saying amen or raising one's hands in praise, if I have to contrive that out of you, that's not genuine worship being elicited from you. Worship comes from the heart. And God sees the heart, with or without outward expression. God knows if our outward expression is fake. God knows if our outward expression is rote. God also knows if our lack of outward expression is because of lack of worship coming from the heart. Is God pleased with what God experiences from the gathering of Walker United Methodist Church? When God experiences our heart, is God pleased? Is God praised? Is God worshiped? Now, I do understand, and I say this genuinely, I understand that many folks come from a tradition where being reserved and being quiet is out of a deep respect for being in the special presence of God. I get that, and I respect that. But the questions I do feel led us to ask ourselves, though, are these. Am I quiet and reserved because of a deep respect, or am I going through the motions of worship because, to be honest, I really don't want to be here? Did I gather with the church with joy? Or my mama would turn over in my grave if I wasn't at church. I really don't want to be here, but I'd feel guilty if I wasn't, so here I am. Is God pleased about what God sees? If God showed us a picture this morning, if God sent us a heavenly PowerPoint and flashed each of our hearts up on a screen as God sees our heart as we're in worship this morning, would we be glad or would we be embarrassed? God desires for us to be excited about coming to worship. God desires for us to be enthusiastic about coming to worship. Not, oh my God, it's Sunday morning again. God expects us to be eager to come to worship. And that excitement and that enthusiasm and that eagerness is not because of how we're going to be, in a word I can't stand, but it's so prevalent among churches, how much I'm going to be fed. Or how I'm going to be blessed. And we do have reason to be eager to gather for worship. The psalmist declared, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Do you ever notice pastures? I do. Now, Ken, I don't have a clue on how you maintain them, but I notice them. Some are very well maintained with lush grass and ponds, and others look ignored and forgotten. I have honestly said, if I was a cow, I'd like to be in that pasture. I would not want to be in that pasture. The apparent health of the cattle seems to correspond with the health of the pasture. Now, I know cattle are not pets. But one can look at the cattle and one can look at the fields and not have any idea of the owner. But observation of the pasture reveals the level of skill and the level of care the farmer has for the herd. The psalmist declared, "Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." David celebrated and praised God in the 23rd Psalm, declaring, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." As we have gathered here the Sunday before Thanksgiving, reality is that in our finite human experience, some folks have experienced a good year and you've had minimal negatives in your life and you've had a lot of positives. Others, not so much. Some of our church family has experienced grief as loved ones passed away this year. Some of our church family has experienced health issues and those health crises, and they are facing those continuing into the coming year. Again, I remind you of what you already know, but we all need to be reminded of repeatedly. Thanksgiving and praise have nothing to do with what we consider the blessings of our lives. Because most of the time, what we consider the blessings of our life are predominantly our family, our health, and our wealth. Now, granted, these are blessings. Don't get me wrong. These are blessings. But the state of those areas of our lives is not a measure of how much thanksgiving and praise is due to God. We are thankful people and we praise God because we are God's people. We are the sheep of God's pasture. Even when life is not working out according to our liking or according to our happiness, we are God's people. We are also so blessed to be on this side of the cross. The psalmist could proclaim praise and thanksgiving as God's person based on the covenant. We're able to express praise and thanksgiving because of the cross. Regardless of how life treats us, we are called to be people of thanksgiving and praise as Jesus has taken away our sin, and we are in a loving and positive relationship with the God of all creation. Let's face it. Sometimes we're happy. We go through the day singing skippity-doo-dah, whatever your version of that may be. Some days we are just happy. Some days things are just going right. Some days we're not. Some days we step on a tack when we step out of bed and the rest of the day goes downhill. Some days we're happy. Some days we're not. Some seasons of life we're happy. Some seasons we're not. But we're always thankful and we always praise God regardless. Because on the cross, Jesus has already won the battle. On the cross, Jesus has already won our salvation. And in the concluding verses of Matthew, Jesus promised that he would never leave us. Christian singing group Mercy Me sings a song that says in part, they say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can to save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful. You've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you come what may. Because I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. It is well with my soul. It is well, with my soul. The artist says that the message of the lyric that I just quoted in his understanding is this. God has the power to do anything we ask, but if God chooses not to grant our request, God is still worthy of praise because of what God has already done. Approaching Thanksgiving Day and looking back over the past year, our life may have smelled like a rose or stunk like a skunk. But that does not determine our thanksgiving and praise. We praise God. We offer thanksgiving because we are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. So next Sunday when you come to worship, enter the parking lot with thanksgiving and the front doors with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, in all honesty, we must admit that our feelings ebb and flow with the emotions of life. That some days and some seasons are so that we celebrate. And other days and other seasons are such that we struggle and perhaps even grieve. But gracious and loving Lord, You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our thanksgiving, because regardless of how life is treating us in any given moment, You have saved our souls. And You are always faithful. So Lord, wherever we are in the joys or struggles of life, may we offer You praise and may we offer You thanksgiving. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar